Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Lurie, Jesse Bell, Lauren Tucker, and Dinah Jansen. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Lurie, and here are your local news headlines. Open Farm Days has returned for its second full season, after going from a weekend celebration to a full lineup of events lasting from mid-August to the end of September. Open Farm Days offers Kingstonians an opportunity to learn about local agriculture, from tours of local farms to culinary workshops. This summer, the lineup also has an exciting new addition called Gather, bringing together a wide array of local farmers, food producers, and chefs for a farm-to-table experience. Gather was spearheaded by the owner of Bloom Farm, Tara Williamson, and chef and owner of Rampant Kitchen, Elisa Corrigan. On September 14th, they will be hosting a day filled with delicious food, local vendors, and a celebration of community. Visitors will tour 8 different stations offering food and drink pairings with ingredients from different local farms. CFRC sat down with Debbie Miller, an organizer with Open Farm Days, to talk about this year's offerings and get a sneak preview of Gather before sitting down with the event's hosts. This is your only second year doing the longer version of the festival as opposed to just that one weekend. How is the process of filling out the schedule this year?
It's going really well. There's been a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of interest around Open Farm Days as we've expanded the time frame to allow for more local farms, businesses, and community organizations to be involved, because as we all know, harvest for everything doesn't happen at the same time. So expanding the time frame has really allowed for more participation and opportunities to be involved.
Awesome. Yeah. And what kind of feedback did you get from last year's longer event, and how has it changed your approach to this year?
So we did receive positive feedback about the longer time frame because it allowed other locations to be involved, as I indicated. But it really has expanded the opportunities, also the awareness too for the connections within farming and food in our region has been, it's just an increased awareness across the region, an opportunity for others to make connections and really get to know where your food comes from and who's preparing your food or producing food for you as well is a really important part around the small scale agriculture for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And did you have a lot of new participants this year, or was it a similar number of participants to last year?
There's a similar number. There's a few new locations that are participating and others that, you know, just for different reasons were not able to participate this year. So I would say a fairly similar number. We did focus a lot this year on the farmers markets and really making good connections at the farmers markets, and they're hosting events there as well, so educational events. So again, bringing people to where people already are, bringing events and awareness to those locations, like at the farmers markets there's tomato tastings or bloom bars or different events like that that are taking place at the 5 farmers markets across our region.
Yeah, so was that a big focus this year, was getting connected with those farmers markets and making sure that Open Farms had a voice there?
Yes, absolutely. And they have been involved in the past, but it was really how do they also connect? Because as we know, people go to farmers markets for their weekly grocery shopping, products and things like that, picking up their local vegetables and fruit, their baked goods, etc. And just really trying to make sure people were aware across our region that there are 5 amazing farmers markets in our region. So if you aren't able to make a Saturday one, you can make a Sunday one, or you could go Friday night or a different day during the week. So there's lots of opportunities with different times and different locations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And things have already kicked off. What have you heard so far from the community, and how have you been feeling about this year so far?
Thank you for that. And yes, we had the launch event on Friday, August 16th. There was a great turnout there. Lots of community members were out. We had local politicians were out to support the event and support small scale agriculture in our community. They all helped with the ribbon cutting, which was a corn stalk, which was a pretty fun ribbon cutting. So good positive feedback as we start the event, and lots of interest as people are visiting the website to explore what's happening. happening and what's taking place in the next 6 weeks across our region.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. And just to give us a bit of a preview, this new event, Gather, how did they come into the picture and what's it all about?
So Gather is an event that's being hosted at a farm in Frontenac County with a chef doing the preparation of the food, and they're having different booths around the farm where they can, sample different offerings from different farms as well. So a new event that's taking place. But again, Tara is well-versed in open farm days. She's been involved from the Frontenac Farmers Market perspective, and she is also a farmer. So it's great to have them involved. There's lots of other events taking place as well, culinary events. There's the Donald Gordon Conference Center has a culinary event this weekend on August 24th, and there's the food tours. There's other events taking place, so be sure to check out openfarmdays.ca to see the full list of events taking place.
Once again, that was Debbie Miller sitting down with CFRC to get into this year's Open Farm Days experiences. Next up, we sat down with Gather organizers Tara Williamson and Elisa Corrigan to get deeper into this year's new event taking place at Bloom Farm.
Well, to start us off, would you like to just introduce yourself for our listeners?
Sure. So I am Tara Williamson. I am owner-operator of Bloom Farm in Harrowsmith.
And my name is Elisa Corrigan, and I am chef and owner of Rampant Kitchen. And we're opening a cooking studio just south of Sydenham.
Awesome. Yeah. And this is the first time the Gather event is in this Open Farms lineup. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to how this partnership happened between Rampant Kitchen and Bloom Farms and what people can expect from the event this year.
So I have been a patron of Open Farm Days for a number of years. I think it's a fantastic event and have sort of always had in the back of my mind that we would do some sort of event at Bloom Farms, but wasn't quite sure what that event would be until one day I tasted Elisa's food. And we didn't really know each other. I knew of her, but I didn't know her. But as soon as I had her food, I said, I need to meet this woman. I need to do an event with her. And Gather was born out of that.
I believe the lore is it was a raspberry Danish.
It was.
Yeah, I've been looking for an excuse to squeak into Open Farms. I moved to the area just over 2 years ago, and every year I've been a visitor of Open Farms and really loved it and loved like the philosophy of it. Like food and sustainable food systems are really important to me. So when Tara messaged me over a Danish, I was like, yep, let's do this. Let's just jump into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And since you guys experienced this firsthand, I was wondering if you could speak a bit to the importance of the connections that are fostered between local farms and local kitchens by these events like Open Farms.
Sure. So I'm also actually the manager of the Frontenac Farmers Market. So I'm very entwined in both farmers and food in the area. And I think education of where our food comes from and the people growing it is so important. And having people like Elisa and Rampant Kitchen in the area to show what you can do with the local ingredients available to us is incredible. And we're so lucky to have so many farmers in the area and food producers.
Yeah. So sustainable food systems has always been really important to me as a chef. I'm from a rural farming community in Southern Ontario. And then when I worked in Toronto for the past 2 decades, it was always part of my ethos when I was building menus to focus on Ontario food. I'm all about like global taste with local flavors. So when I met Tara and she had all these wonderful connections with farmers already, it was like this beautiful open door to like really show off what we can produce in Frontenac, and it's just really exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know the event is a little while away, but do you have an idea of what you'll be showing folks how to make come September 14th?
Yeah, we have the menu pretty solidified. I'm just working out some kinks, but we're going to be doing some really cool stuff like the Rise Farm is participating, and they have great small fowl, and they also raise rabbits. So we're going to be doing like a smoked jerk chicken, like jerk rabbit with like a nectarine salsa on the side. We're also working with Collective Joy, and they're this amazing microgreen interior farm down in Kingston. And we're using two of their products. We're going to be using microgreens on one of our dishes. We're doing like a lion's mane taco with Mark's mushrooms. But then we're also going to be using their beautiful florals, and we're going to imprint them into some butter shortbread, so everybody gets like a sweet floral treat at the end.
We also have some incredible food producers too. We have chocolate, we have pickles, we have breads. So you'll be able to sample lots of different food producers in the area. And an event like this would not be complete without some beer and wine tastings too. So we have a local brewery and winery on site. And with your ticket purchase, you get to sample their products as well.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So is Gather a newer event on a bigger level? Because I know open farms, like folks will go visit a farm and figure out what they do there, but it sounds like a lot of people are getting involved in this one.
Yeah, it was really important for us to bring together a lot of farmers for this event. So basically one-stop shopping. You can come to Gather and meet a wide array of farmers and food producers in the area. And each farmer and food producer will be on site the day of to talk about their farms, talk about their products, answer any questions. So it's a great event, whether you're just coming to eat and drink and enjoy and network, or if you're thinking about starting your own little farm or just want to know more about what's available in the area.
Really about food community.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely being very true to the name Gather. That's awesome. Yeah. And I mean, both of you have watched the festival grow over the years and participated in different ways. And I was wondering if you could just get into how it's been to watch the festival go from the weekend to virtual during COVID to back to the weekend to now being this whole month and a half event, and so many people are involved that you can host an event like Gather.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think the team at Frontenac County and the specifically the Open Farm Days team have done a great job at making Open Farm Days really accessible to everybody, all different price points. Some events are free, some are not. You can come to an event like ours and hit a bunch of different farmers at once, go to farmers market. So it really is, you can get whatever you want at Open Farm Days, which is incredible. So hats off to the team there.
Yeah, they're really putting in a lot of grassroots effort to like spread the word and make it a big thing, which is awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And it's coming up really fast. So how are you guys feeling with the big day approaching so quickly?
I'm definitely excited. I'm also a little nervous, but I think a little nerves is good. Yeah, I think it'll be really great. And I think it's great in my mind. And I don't want to speak for Tara, but I think once we have it in action, it'll be like this beautiful sigh of relief to see everything come to fruition.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm excited.
That was Tara Williamson and Elisa Corrigan, organizers of the new Gather event for Open Farm Days this year. Gather will be taking place on September 14th from 3 to 7 p.m. More details are available at openfarms.ca. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Lauren Tucker with your CFRC Arts Desk.
Thanks, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for today. Beginning September 3rd and running until the 14th at the Union Gallery is home again, Queen's Fine Art Alumni Exhibit. Marking 55 years of fine art education at Queen's, this exhibition of visual artwork from fine arts and art education alumni will be a showcase, celebration, and an expression of the hopes for the future of the program. This exhibition includes work from over 70 alumni and is free for the public to peruse during open hours in the main space. Exhibition hours may vary, and you can learn more at uniongallery.queensu.ca. Coming up at the Agnes Etherington Art Center is a week of orientation events lined up from September 16th to 21st. On September 16th from 2 to 4 p.m. is a sound-making workshop with acclaimed music collaborative, LAL. As a bonus to this event, tickets to this group's performance the following evening are available for a sliding scale $10 to $20 admission. On September 20th from 4 to 8 p.m. in conjunction with the Union Gallery is the Queer Karaoke Dance Party. On September 21st is a workshop for educators of all kinds from 1 to 4 p.m. illustrating a no borders approach to teaching and teaching cross-cultural relations and solidarity. Last but certainly not least, on the 21st of September is a screening of the new A Fadai film based on the destruction of Palestinian archives that, quote, aims to create a counter-narrative to this loss, presenting a form of cinematic sabotage that seeks to reclaim and restore the looted memories of Palestinian history. All of these events are free to attend, but registration is required, and you can learn more at agnes.queensu.ca. Registration for fall term programming at the Kingston School of Art is now open, including programs for youth and adults, as well as workshops and summer camps. This includes adult classes in drawing, fiber and textile arts, mixed media, painting, printmaking, and sculpture, and youth programs for kids ages 6 to 16 and families. There are also a variety of 1 and 2 day workshops available for registration. For more information and to register, visit ksoa.info. Coming up at Modern Fuel are 3 new exhibitions beginning September 14th and running until November 9th. In the main gallery is In the Shadow of the Sun by regional artist Alyssa Scott. In the State of Flux gallery is A Common Babble by extra-regional artist Nikita FK. And in the Window gallery is Artwork Care Work, Portraits of Artists/Mothers by extra-regional artist Claire Drummond. For more, visit modernfuel.org. And the full lineup is now available for Kingston Writers Fest 2024, running this year at the Screening Room and across Kingston from September 25th to 29th. This year's program includes events for adult writers and youth, including panels, trivia, open mics, writers' retreat events, festival field trips, and more. Tickets and packages are on sale now, and the student rush seats are available to some events. You can visit kingstonwritersfest.ca for all that and more. Every Monday at Daft Brewing, Bon Evans hosts Music Trivia Mondays at 7 p.m. Put your music knowledge to the test in 4 more rounds of trivia, whether you're going it solo or in a team with clips, questions, and more. The winning team walks away at the end of the night with a $50 gift card and bragging rights, so be sure to check it out for a Monday night of music and fun. And coming up at Kingston's Independent Cinema, The Screening Room, you can catch special screenings of Coraline in its 15th anniversary until September 5th. 2006's Little Miss Sunshine will be showing until the 4th, and Ghostbusters will be showing the 2nd, 3rd, and 5th. The results of their 2024 Moviegoers poll are also now available at their website, so you can keep an eye on which classic winning films are incoming to the big screen. There are also new arrivals and special screenings all the time, so be sure to check back at screeningroomkingston.com for all of your cinema adventures. That's all I've got for you on Arts Desk for today. Now I'll turn it over to Jesse Bell at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Monday, September 2nd, 2024. The Queens Gaels football team was in action on Saturday for their home opener against the McMaster Marauders at Richardson Memorial Stadium. The Gaels were in control of all three facets of the game early, with their special teams unit yielding consistently good return yardage, their defense stifling a potent MAC offense, and the Queens offense putting up 2 touchdowns in the first quarter and a field goal to give them a 17-0 lead. That lead would only grow as Jared Kasari scored his 3rd touchdown of the first half to put the Gaels up 24-0. McMaster would rally with an interception on defense and a late touchdown to make it a 24-7 deficit at the end of the first half. McMaster came out hot in the second half, slowly but surely chipping away at Queen's massive lead. They would add a touchdown to make it a 24-15 ball game before Tyler Mullen would kick a 42-yard field goal through the uprights to give the Gaels a double-digit 27-15 lead. McMaster was undeterred as they continued to chip away at the Queen's lead. McMaster would score a 5-yard touchdown on a jet sweep to drop the deficit to 5 with all the momentum in their favor. A quick stop by the McMaster defense gave the Marauders one final chance to win the game with less than a minute to go, but Justin Pace would make this phenomenal play to seal the victory for the Gaels.
Looking for the pass on the right-hand side. Oh, snap! He's taken, but he makes the pass! Able to make his way up. Football! Queens gets it! There we go!
Justin Pace, his 2nd generated turnover, and that might be the dagger! Keegan Hall takes 1 heck of a hit! He completes the pass, and Justin Pace, with his face in the right place, knocks that football loose and might have knocked Mac back to Hamilton with an 0-2 record.
And with that defensive play by number 44, Justin Pace, the Gaels would prevail, taking home their first victory of the season 27-22 over a very strong McMaster Marauders football team. The Gaels will be in action next on Saturday, September 7th at Richardson Memorial Stadium, where they'll be hosting the York Lions. Kickoff is scheduled for 4 p.m., but do tune in at 3:45 p.m. for the Something in the Water pregame show. This concludes your sports report for Monday, September 2nd, 2024. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
This is Christina Laurie coming in with your CFRC Weekly Traffic Report. Pavement rehabilitations will take place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. McDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Coming up this week, there will be lane and ramp closures on Highway 401 eastbound and westbound at Sydenham Road to Gardner's Road. These will take place September 3rd, 4th, and 5th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. The Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard ramp will be closed on September 4th and 5th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. as well. PSBC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In other road closures to look out for this week, Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert, closed until December 31st for construction. St. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation. For more project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th, closed until October 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. King Street, Plastarms to north end of King, closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. The road will be open to local traffic. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street, Victoria to Albert, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation. For more project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. University Avenue, Union to Earl, closed for the removal of debris from the Queen's JDUC project. Wellington Street, Earl to Gore, closed until September 10th for a new water service installation. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Restoration Project is still underway. The work is planned to finish in late December 2024. Work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public parking for the duration of the project. It's anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. To wrap up your traffic report for this evening, you can also expect delays on the following streets due to construction: Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles, Edwin to Princess, Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, Highway 2 Abbey Don to St. Lawrence, John Counter Boulevard at Montreal, Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard at Bath, and Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard at Princess. To learn more about any of these delays and the associated projects, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. That is all for your CFRC Weekly Traffic Report, and next up is your events and concerts calendar.
On Wednesday night, the Grad Club is hosting an open stage drag show welcoming new and seasoned drag performers. Admission is $5 and the event runs from 8 to 10:30 p.m. Daft Brewing and Something in the Water Brewing Company are also hosting free 19-plus trivia nights starting at 7 p.m. Also on Wednesday, the Fresh Food Market pop-up is giving you local produce and pre-made food that won't break the bank. The Fresh Food pop-up is at Rideau Heights Community Center from 2 to 5 p.m. Also on Wednesday, you can head over to Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar for Musiki Live Drawing on Wednesday evening for uninstructed life drawing. For $5, enjoy relaxing vibes and bring your own supplies for some inspiration. Live music starts at 8 p.m., so grab a drink and enjoy. On Thursday, September 5th, the Kingston Public Market is open again starting at 8:30 through 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. And theater lovers can also enjoy the launch of The Mumberly Inheritance, a melodrama being performed at the Domino Theater from 7:30 to 9 p.m. running September 5th and every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday through September 21st. On September 6th, Friday, folks can visit the Fresh Food Market at the YMCA starting at 9:30, and later on Friday afternoon, the Queer Muslim Collective is hosting a casual social event at the 99 York Street Community House from 5 to 7 p.m. And on September 7th, the annual Access Sidewalk Sale on University Avenue will run from 10 to 6 p.m. Come visit CFRC's booth and hundreds of other local business and campus club booths to learn about campus activities and kit out your dorm room. Also on Saturday the 7th from 9 to 5, you can visit the Memorial Center for the Ethiopian New Year Festival, showcasing coffee ceremonies, cultural plays, traditional food, and more. Also on September 7th, Toronto-based singer-songwriter Julie Arsenal will play an intimate performance on the Murnie Tower gun platform from 6 to 9 p.m. And on September 8th, you can go to the Memorial Center Farmers Market from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring locally grown and prepared food and artisanal crafts. Folks can also enjoy the weekly Solidarity Swim at the Arc from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m., a swim session for trans, non-binary, genderqueer, genderfluid, and other non-cisgendered persons and their allies. Have a concert or event you would like featured on CFRC's online and on-air calendars? Reach out to us today via cfrc.ca. On Wednesday, September 4th, folks can also enjoy a free open mic show at the Cove Inn with Sean McCullough and friends. You can also travel on the new Wolf Islander 4 to Marysville and enjoy an open mic night with Mike Rapkins at Hotel Wolf Island from 7 to 10 p.m. for free and take in music, poetry, storytelling, comedy, dance, and more. Musiki Cafe also welcomes Frank Ryan on September 4th for a live show starting at 8 p.m. on Wednesday night, while folks can also have some karaoke fun at the Mansion starting at 9 p.m. On Thursday, September 5th, from 8:30 to midnight, dive in for The Royal Jam, a free multi-genre open mic event at Blue Martini. Also on September 5th, Clear Breeze will perform groove-oriented jazz and bossa nova classics at Hotel Wolf Island for free from 6 to 10 p.m. And on Thursday as well, Stage Rage is on at Stages Nightclub starting at 9 p.m. On Friday, September 6th, you can check out Red Compass Rose and Rev Zed for only $6 at the Mansion from 7 p.m. till midnight. You can also catch Nison and Bad Fortune in concert at the Memorial Center for free during the Kingston Ribfest and Craft Beer Show from 4:30 to 9 p.m. The Celtic Kitchen Party are also playing a free show at Tiernanog on September 6th from 9 p.m. to midnight, featuring lots of great Celtic, Irish, and Scottish music covers and originals. And Christopher Jackson and friends are playing upbeat rock and old country tunes for free from 7 to 10 p.m. at Blue Martini. On Saturday, September 7th, get ready to stomp it out on the Broom Factory's dance floor with the return of Elliot Brood. Visit Flying V Productions for ticket info for the show, running 7:30 to 10 p.m. Also on the 7th, the Free Association Blues Band featuring Mike Farrell, Spencer Evans, Ian Woodward, Bones Bowering, and Scott Meganson will take place at Hotel Wolf Island for free from 6 to 9 p.m. And the Celtic Kitchen Party with the Tone Cats are taking the stage on Saturday night at Kingston Ribfest at the Memorial Center, a free show starting at 4:30. And on Sunday, September 8th, local legends Chris and Dee are playing a free show with Ray Spoon at Hotel Wolf Island from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. Also on Sunday, you can check out Heavy Pocket and Frank Ryan for free at Ribfest at the Memorial Center from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And that night, The Real McKenzies, Doghouse Rose, Pound Salt, and Left on Bowery are playing a big show from 7:30 to midnight at the Mansion. Tickets are $25. What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.